Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Lord of the Inferno, Volume 2 of War of the Fathers. Hello and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week we are continuing to read Lord of the Inferno. Last week we read, Adar went instead for several of the small blasters, which almost fit comfortably into one hand. The trigger guard was too far away from his finger, so he wouldn't be able to fire it without the other hand. At first he did not see a secondary button on the weapon until he closely examined the grip and saw there was a long section that depressed when his hand was wrapped around it. He stuffed two into his belt. I've exhausted all my other options, he thought. It's time to throw caution to the wind. Hucky was back on one of the seats, fiddling with the control panel. Come on, Adar said, swinging the boy down from the chair. I think I know of a way off of this death trap. And now, Chapter 23. When the first blast went through the door of the ship, Adar couldn't help but smile. There is more than one way to slaughter a pig, he thought. He was surprised to see it was dark outside. It had been late afternoon when he'd entered the ship. He knew he had lost track of time, but now that he thought about it, he realized that he'd wasted hours going through the ship. In situations like this, he often found his perception of time became warped. It was not uncommon after a battle to have thought that only a few minutes had passed, but then to realize hours had gone by when he checked the position of the sun. It had taken a lot of time to take control of the ship. He'd also wasted a bunch of time trying to get the door open. Melia, it had been hours. It could be near morning for all he knew. Next time, he could not afford to wait until he was desperate to try a blaster. He approached and pushed on the door, hoping the blast would have done something to loosen it. It held strong. While he listened, he also peered through the hole from a number of different angles, trying to get an idea of what was going on outside. He did not see any Hunway or turncoats. The last ship was also gone as well. He wanted to believe Zekerani was now free of the creatures, but didn't let himself get very far down that path in his thoughts. He would assume the enemy was just outside the door until he knew otherwise. "What are you waiting for?" asked Melinda, her voice a quiet hiss in the silence. "A dozen or more of those, and we'll be able to get out of here." Her demeanor had changed when Adar had returned with Hucky from the command center. Before, she had not been scared by the Hunway, but since he'd come back with Hucky in tow, she mentioned several times how much she hated the Hunway and had feared for her life. She had also told a harrowing story of her and Hucky's capture. Adar hadn't believed a word of it. Hucky had opened his mouth, a confused look on his face. She had spoken over him while latching onto his arm. Growling under his breath, Adar put a finger to his lips. As he did, he realized the blast would have caught more attention than her words. Why would she change her story now? Adar wondered, doing his best not to stare at Melinda. The time for her to put on an act would have been right after he had found her. Perhaps she had believed the Hunway were still on the ship and that it would be just a matter of time before they would return to kill Adar. She must have heard from the others about how the tower had killed the Hunway and decided, for the moment at least, she needed to focus on making sure the people didn't start to look at her askance. It was too late. Adar was already on to her game, but for the sake of Hucky, he wasn't going to do anything about it right now. Even if the kid was aware of what was going on, that was the fault of his mother. Adar would give her a chance to change her mind. He had thought the Kopal would only be a problem in Rarbon. This was the first hint he'd seen of them elsewhere. He had wanted to believe this would be an isolated occurrence, but he knew better. At the very least, he now needed to be on the lookout for others like her. Melia, he thought, it's bad enough as it is, with all the other issues I have to deal with. Now I have to add this to the pile of things to be mindful of as well. Adar had never tried to learn what it was that the Kopal believed. He'd just been in the habit of killing them or getting them to give up their belief. The latter usually involved oaths of fealty to him. He backed away and took several more shots at the door, this time aiming for the top corners, hoping to disable the locking mechanisms. He waited for any type of response from outside, and when nothing happened, he pushed on the door. It did not move at all. There were more murmurs, but they died off when he turned to stare at the others. Hucky was not paying attention and was off in the corner of the hole doing something Adar could not identify. He opened his mouth to ask Melinda to call him back, but thought better of it when he noticed the scowl she was giving him. Instead, Adar passed the indignant woman and went to Hucky himself. "What you got there?" Adar asked. Hucky shifted to keep what he held out of Adar's sight. Despite the kid's effort, Adar recognized the back of one of the small blasters as the kid shuffled backward. "Give it here." Adar held out his hand. "I don't have nothing." Hucky swallowed but did not move. "What you waiting for anyway? Get us out of here." "I saw the blaster," Adar said. "Where did you find it?" Adar had made sure the lad was empty-handed when they'd left the command center, and he had kept Hucky in front to keep an eye on him for this exact reason. "It's mine," he said. "I found it." Adar knelt so he could look the kid in the eye and held out his hand. "Why do you need it?" Hucky asked. "You've got two on your belt, three over your shoulder, and you're holding one as well. Can't you spare me one?" "Those Hunwe were coming after all of us, you know. What if we get split from you? Who'll take care of my mother then?" Adar frowned. If the boy would have been older and not been the son of somebody he suspected, Adar wouldn't have hesitated to not only let the kid have the blaster, but he would have shown the boy how to use it as well. Given the behavior of the boy's mother, Adar could not allow this to happen. Footsteps approached from behind, and Adar looked over his shoulder and into Melinda's eyes. Her lips made a thin line across her face, but she swayed as she walked. The grated floor was dirty, but she made it seem as though she crossed a ballroom floor. He might have found her attractive, but he suspected she used her beauty as a weapon. He had long since learned to not let a woman like that get under his skin. Adar glowered at her before turning back to Hucky. "Give it here." When Hucky did not make a move, Adar straightened and shifted so he could keep an eye on both Melinda and Hucky. The last thing he wanted right now was to have to deal with Melinda, but he would if he had to. "Move away from my son," Melinda said, her voice so cold that it seemed to lower the temperature in the room several degrees. "I'm not going anywhere until I have that blaster." Adar hesitated while she approached Hucky, uncertain about how the other women would react if he stopped her from going to her son. Their eyes were on Adar. Melinda had seemed to know several of them, and it was possible they might take her side over his. He had precious little evidence with which to accuse her, much less hold her at the point of a blaster. The others would cry foul if he did. Kira had a frown on her face that he could not read. Lars sucked on his fingers and was looking away. Melinda stooped to her son, a severe look on her face as she held out a hand. Hucky frowned as he handed the blaster over. When Melinda took it, she paused and considered it, looking as though she was about to claim it as her own. Adar braced himself, preparing to use either threat or force to get it away from her. He stopped from pointing his blaster at her. She held the blaster towards him without pointing the barrel in his direction. "Here, take it." As Adar slipped it into his pants, he wished he would have felt relief, but he only felt warier. He had not missed the longing look in her eyes as she had examined the blaster. If it had been the two of us, she would have taken a shot. He was sure of it. Glowering as she moved, Melinda took Hucky by the arm and walked him back to the others. "Would you get on with it?" Helda asked. Adar did not respond as he returned to the door and put enough blast through the top seam to remove that portion of the door and wall. He groaned as he tried to get the door to move, but once again, it held firm. "Melinda had the right idea," Helda said. "You'd be halfway through making a hole we could crawl through if you would have been doing that all along." Adar had hoped to get the door of the ship to work again in a way that would minimize the damage, but that wasn't going to be possible. It was time to give up on that. If he didn't get these women out soon, he would have a mutiny on his hands. Bringing up the blaster, he fired a dozen shots before the blaster stopped working. He tossed it aside and removed one from his shoulder. Once he knew it was safe, he would let the women go out while he returned to the weapons cache and resupplied with working blasters. He continued to fire until there was a hole big enough that even Helda, the largest of any of them, would be able to fit through. Hucky ran toward the hole once Adar was done. Adar intercepted the boy and pulled him back by the arm. "That metal will be hot," he said. "Let me go," Hucky twisted, attempting to get free. But Adar slung the blaster over his shoulder and held onto the kid with both hands. The women approached. Melinda, with a frown on her face that made Adar think she somehow felt he was threatening Hucky's life. He pushed the kid into her arms and went to the hole. Leaning forward, he blew on the edges. It appeared to be cool until his breath hit it and it glowed red. It will take a while for that to cool down. If I had been able to open the door, we would have stepped over the heated portions. Now we will have to wait. I don't want anybody getting a foolish notion of trying to go through before I say you can. We don't need to risk one of your bodies plugging the hole. You in there? The voice cut Adar off cold. It was Isaac. The tone and command of the voice could be nobody else. Why don't you come on out so that I can give your neck a nice slice? You know, the way you did to my brother? Melinda gave Adar an angry look that he ignored as he ushered the group away from the door. Hucky made as if to break for it, but Adar grabbed the kid by the arm and pulled him along so that he was out of view. As Adar brought up his blaster, movement came from behind. He was too late. The last thing he remembered was a sense of surprise that it had been Helda and not Melinda that used his discarded blaster to knock him out. That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker, all rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.